Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. Hello, I'm your host, Gary Fuhr, and I'm proud to serve you today. Today's topic, what to do when someone leaves the church. This topic stems in part because of last week's point that sometimes in conflict resolution, you need to be decisive and let that person that's causing the trouble go. And actually encourage them or allow them at some point to leave the church. And that's never easy, and it's never the desirable path, and it's not something we look for. And when you consider in a small church, it gets to be very discouraging when somebody stops coming to church. There seems to be a period in a small church that when some member or members that have been coming, when they stop, there seems to be a period of mourning. You kind of look over at their pew at times, expecting them to walk in the doors, and they're not there, and it just feels quiet and it feels empty. And it's as a matter of fact, this is a real tough topic for me to speak to. I remember the very first couple that left the church after I become pastor. Now, I had been in this church for almost my whole life, and I've seen people come and go. Most of the time, it was what I refer to as floaters. We had a fellowship of churches in the area, and we visited, and we had singings in our churches where we'd have visitors come, and they'd sing, and they enjoyed it, and so they'd come to church for a while, and then they'd stop coming to our church, go to another one. And I called them floaters because they floated from church to church. They never really had their own home church. They just kept looking and kept going from church to church. And I'd seen those, and I'd seen people that we loved and had been there, been coming for a long time. I'd seen them move on and some to other ministries, and some fell away. But this one was really tough for me. I grew up in the church, and these folks were mainstays in the church. And they were an elderly couple. As a matter of fact, they've since went on to be with the Lord. But I remember the day they left like it was yesterday, and I really cared for these folks. As a matter of fact, there were times when I got to church, somebody would drop me off at church, and I didn't have a way to get back home. They would drive me back home, and just a caring, loving people. After they left, I saw them several times, and we picked up just like there was no division or no problem. And that was a good thing that made me feel good. But I walked into church that morning, and I noticed something was different. And I got looking, and you know how, you know, people that have come to the church for a long time, they have their pew or their seat. They have their Bible there, or they have their cushion there, or they have a strategically placed a Kleenex box. We have one brother in the church. He's got a round thing of mints that he keeps right next to his seat. And so I looked around, and I noticed all their stuff was gone. I come back in the office, and I called their house, and I says, "Hey, I noticed all your stuff's gone. What's going on?" He says, "We won't be back." And they never did give me a reason. I think I know, but they never did give me a reason why they wouldn't come back. But it hurt me so deeply. I sat in the office and I cried. Literal tears came from my eyes. I felt like the biggest failure there ever had been. Little did I know, they wouldn't be the first couple or family or people to come and to leave, and they wouldn't be the first that would bother me greatly when they left. Now, I'll be honest, there have been some that I knew weren't a good fit for the church. I'm not about building the church. I'm about building the kingdom of God. And if it's always been my mentality that if we're not a good fit, then let's try to find a good fit for you. If this isn't where God wants you to be, let's find a place that God wants you to be, because we really need to get to that point where you are where God wants you to be. pastors and leadership, even the members in churches, need to understand that we're not all called to the same community. We're not all called to the same church, if you will. We're a part of the church of Jesus Christ in a broader sense, but we're not all called to fellowship right next to each other. We have to find that place that God has called us to be, and we need to be there. And so let's look for a little bit at I wrote down four types of people that leave your church. Four types of people that, as you're looking out there, when they leave, these are some of the reasons why they leave. And there is definitely more than these four. It's not an exclusive list. But these four seem to be what I've experienced in the 17 years I've been doing this. Number one, those that leave to go on to something they are called to. Like I said, we're not all called to be together. And that could be maybe they're going to the mission field or maybe they're going to, who knows, maybe they're going to another church that God's called them to be at. Maybe they're going to pastor or just work in the ministry of helps, or maybe they're moving, whatever. But God's called them to somewhere else, and so they're going. I understand this is empty nest syndrome, you know? I wrote it down like this. This is a time of celebration. It's like a child leaving the home after they become adults. Yes, there's an empty nest, but this is what we are preparing in the church. We're preparing to go and make disciples. I realize that as folks leave our church in good standing, as folks leave our church in good spirits and good attitudes, as people leave this local assembly that we have and they're going somewhere else, they're taking and becoming an extension of who we are. And at that point, as that small church, you need to rejoice. You need to be excited. You need to celebrate. I wrote a couple things down that you also need to do at this point with that family, that couple, that person, whatever it be, that one that left to go do something that God's called them to do. Hey, look, we've got several young people in this church that are growing, and they're just a few years away from being to that age of potentially being married. And I'm looking out there and thinking to myself, I wonder how many of these young people will stay in this church, or how many of them, if they don't marry somebody from this church, how many of them will be going to the church of their new spouse? It's a time of celebration. They're taking the training, the teaching, what you've given them. So some of the things that you need to do is, one, stay in touch with the person that's leaving. They're an extension of you at this point. Stay in touch with them. Be their help. Be there for them. Now they're moving into another ministry, or they're becoming their own leader in leadership and all these things. You know, you may not have a lot of influence on them, but stay in touch. They may need you. And you'll definitely need them. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have them come back from time to time and testify. I am so blessed. My wife left a church in Arkansas, and she came all the way to Northern Illinois to be with me. And she left her home church. We go down there twice a year to visit the church. Her family's down there too, and she loves, and we love to visit her family. But we go down to visit the church. And as we're down there, oftentimes they'll have her share, her testify. They want to know what's going on. She is an extension of who they are. And our church has been so blessed because of that extension. Stay in touch with the ones that are leaving. Also, remind the church from time to time that their ministry has now grown. It's no longer what they see. Now their ministry is more than what they see. And I don't know about you, sometimes you look around at a small church and you get a little bit discouraged that that's all you're doing. Listen, pastor, listen, leadership, listen, church member. You can look around on a Sunday morning and think that that's all that you're doing, but it's not, especially if you've had those that have left your church because they're called to something else. What a blessing and what a pat on the back from God to you. You're doing something right. I'll take it as a compliment when my children move out of the house. Now I'll sit and I'll probably be the type to go up to their bedroom and kind of sit in it and reminisce and remember and miss them. Of course, it might take a little bit. I might just be happy to have a house back to myself again without screaming kids. But I'll miss them. But I'll take it a compliment if they can go out and be successful on their own. That meant that all my years of training them paid off, and it worked out well. Stay in touch with them and remind the church from time to time that their ministry has grown. Number two, those that leave the church, those that have caused trouble, and they need to leave. I hate that. That is never an enjoyable time when somebody has caused trouble and they just need to leave. But there comes a time when that's the case. It's a tough one. Remember, those that have left still have friends in the church, and it becomes a delicate situation. Just because a family or somebody has left the church doesn't cause it to be a church split. And if somebody leaves the church, and they should have, and if they were causing trouble and they leave a church, you need to be careful, because soon, if you don't treat that correctly, you may just have a church split. Remember, they still have friends in that church. They still have people whose lives they touched and they helped. The trouble needs to be dealt with, but it may cause more trouble if not dealt with appropriately. I believe strongly in speaking to the elephant in the room with integrity and void of emotion. Don't put yourself, pitch yourself against them. Don't get emotional about it. The issue needs to be put to bed. At this point, I would find a service when it's just home folks. You don't need to drag strangers into this. When it's just home folks, and have the discussion about the issue. If you need to bring up the name, just bring it up briefly. Hey, look, I know Brother Troublemaker just finally left the church. I don't want to talk about him. However, I do want to talk about the issue of why he left the church. Go from there. During these times, I've stepped down off the platform, put my Bible on a stand, right on the floor level with everybody else, and just had an open forum. I explain the situation openly and encourage a discussion that I control. Did you hear that? Encourage a discussion that I control. You have to keep control of the discussion. Otherwise, it'll get too emotional. No one is allowed to say someone else is wrong or right, but they have an opportunity to bring up scripture about the issue in question. So when you bring up the issue, somebody else can... Remember, you're not talking about the person. You're talking about the issue. The Bible speaks to that issue. What does it say? That's all that's allowed. Let me kind of explain for a minute if I can. We had some hurt feelings in our church a couple years back. One man claimed another said something about doctrine that we hold dear in our church. And the two men, the second man denied that he had actually even said what the first man he said. He said, there's a lot of saids there. It had to be dealt with. There was a lot of hurt feelings in this situation, going back and forth. I couldn't put my finger on what was said and what wasn't. I decided to stay out of the middle of it. I preempted a Sunday school class for the issue, not the argument. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people in the church that didn't even know there was an argument or a discussion. They had no clue as to why I had the conversation, and they didn't need to. I taught for 3 hours on the subject. I taught through Sunday school, through our singing time, worship time, through preaching, and we dismissed late. At the end of it, both men said they agreed with what I taught as truth, and the matter ended. It didn't come up again. I addressed what the one man said, the other man said, and I didn't even bring them up. I told both men that's what I was going to do before I did it. Said, you're more than welcome to be there. You don't have to be. I won't bring your names up. I won't even speak to, but I will speak to this issue and this issue and that issue. And they said, nope, that's fine. Go ahead and do what you need to do. But I came down and we talked about the issue. If you don't put the issue to rest, the trouble won't cease just because one family, person, group left the church. That spirit of that trouble is still roaming free in that church. You need to put it to rest. You need to speak to the issue. And it may need to come up a couple times, but by all means, you need to speak to the issue. Number three, those people that have left the church, and they really shouldn't have. I try to believe that every man, woman, boy, and girl, as God directs them, needs to be free to follow the Spirit of God. However, there's just sometimes people, I think they just ate too much Mexican food before they went to bed, and they just have dreams. Maybe they left because there was trouble, and it wasn't something they needed to leave over. There was some trouble, and they just didn't want to see it through. Some people are just tired, weary, and don't want to deal with the trouble, and they leave prematurely. Maybe they were just looking for something else. Maybe the church didn't satisfy certain desires in their heart. I had a guy one time, he came to church one time, and he says, the church doesn't have what I'm looking for. Pressed him. What are you looking for? What are you talking about? The church doesn't have what you're looking for. Come to find out, he was looking for women in the church, and the church didn't have too many women for him, so it didn't have what he was looking for. Maybe they left because there was trouble. Maybe they left because they were just looking for something else. Maybe they left because there was a misunderstanding. I don't know, but you know, people are in the church, and sometimes you just have that sense. You just know that that's their place. Sometimes they stay, sometimes they go, and we have those that didn't stay in the church, and to this day, I feel in my spirit that they should be here. Now, they're going to another church, and that's fine, and I believe they're heaven bound, but I just think they missed the calling of God in their life. Now, it's not for me to walk into the life and to speak that. So a lot of times, if they just left, and they just shouldn't have, a lot of times, I take them as their own sovereign person and I let them go. And I pray and I hope and I trust God to take care of it. Number four, those that have left the faith. And this is possibly the most troubling for me. I've often said it, I don't want to build a church of people that are lost. I won't bring people in at any cost. I want people that want to serve God, that want to grow. And if they don't know the Lord, they need to know the Lord. They don't just sit in the church and feel good on their way to hell. That's not what we're called to do and called to be. And there are times when there are those that know, and I understand we have different views on being saved, but listen, whether your view is that they were saved and they walked away from it, or whether your view is that they were never saved to begin with, whatever your view is, I'm not going to argue that today. I'm talking about people that have come to church, made a profession, but aren't enduring to the end. They're not making it to, they're walking away from whatever profession they made, whether it was true, untrue, whether it was founded, unfounded, whether whatever. They're walking away and serving the lust of the flesh instead of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If at all we can reach that person, if at all we can go and restore such a one, give them what they need to endure until the end. If at all we can reach them, then I think that is our number one priority. Remember the 99 sheep, the one that left, and he left the 99 sheep, and he went chase that one. Make sure the 99 are safe. And then if you can restore such a one, do so. But whatever you do, and any one of these four, be careful if you go chasing them. We don't come to Jesus on our own terms, and a lot of times people think that if you go back to them and you convince them to come back to church, they're coming to church for you. and, you know, you kind of have to take them on their terms. I had a lady one time, she got all upset about something that was said in church one night, and she goes, she went home and she didn't show up for a month or several weeks. I don't remember for sure. One Sunday night, she comes marching in, and she goes and she walks all around the front of the church, and she puts her elbows on the top of the piano, and she looks at me and she says, "You're going to have to accept me how I am." Listen, we don't come to God on our own terms. My mentor always said it, between you and me, you have a right to be whatever you want to be. But between you and God, you better be right and in agreement with Him. That's basically what I told her. I accept you. You can come and you can be here, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you could come and be in our church. But to be accepted into the kingdom of God and be one of His, it may be a different story. And I compelled her to read her scripture and understand it in a deeper understanding and all these things. And she came for a few more weeks, and then she went to another church. And I was glad she went to another church, and maybe that'd be a better fit or a good fit. I don't know. I'm not speaking to that right now. But what I'm speaking to is, people can't come on their own terms. So as you have people leave the church, before you go knocking on their door and asking them to come back, consider. I had one gentleman leave the church, one family leave the church. That was kind of tough. It was a family of six. Actually, it was a family of seven for a while. The older daughter graduated and moved out, and it was a family of six at the time, and they left the church, and some things were said, and I told them, I said, there is always a place here for you if, and I put conditions on it. You say, well, you should receive everybody unconditionally. No, when they cause trouble, they need to make it right. So as you're looking, and as you leave those in the church, it's a mourning, isn't it? It's a mourning. Don't you miss them? Don't you miss them when they're gone? Don't their seats look 10 times emptier than the seats that never were filled? But if they left because they're stepping into a new thing that God's called them to, rejoice. It's a good thing. Those seats are now filled with more than if they were in it. And if they've caused trouble and they've left, well, it still hurts. Deal with the issue and move on. If they left and they shouldn't have, it's their choice. Don't take it personal. And if they've left the faith and you can't restore such a one, then press on for those that you can help. Don't become discouraged because of what you see around you. That was one of the quietest and most difficult services I've ever passed, preached, functioned in, when that older couple left the church. It hurt so bad. But then I looked around, and it took me several weeks to get to this point. After that, I looked around and I saw those that I was helping, both of them, because there was only a couple more left. I looked around at the ones I was helping, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I said, God, give me what it takes to speak to those two. Let me invest into their life so that if they're the only two I ever minister to, they'll know you. And it became a lot easier. I hope this helps. Such a tough topic to go through in 25 minutes, looks like what I'll close out on. Such a tough topic to close through in 25 minutes. Don't get discouraged. Strengthen yourselves. When they leave, understand this. I know one church that they were down to zero. Everybody in the church left, and it was the pastor and his wife. Actually, I'm sorry, they went down to one. And the encouragement I could give to him, is to look into the future at those you will help. Look into the future of those you will help. Pastor, church, look around you at the ones that are there. If you quit, how many of them would find somewhere and serve God there? And how many of them would walk away and say, it's just not worth the effort? Stand strong. Keep pressing in there. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. Listen, I hope we're some help. I hope we're some encouragement. I hope you understand you're not alone out there. If you just need someone to talk to, if you just want to bounce some ideas back and forth, if you just need some encouragement, or if you want to hear a topic, if you want to hear us address something, email us at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. Visit us on smallchurchmentor.com. Or come to Facebook and look us up at Small Church Mentor on Facebook. Hey, if you see us on Facebook, make sure to like us or share us. And man, if you could leave a comment on either our website or if you're listening to us through iTunes, leave a comment on iTunes. That may go a long ways to encouraging me. There's few of us on the podcast for you small churches, and we want to be as much of a help as we can. Sure appreciate your time.